Good morning. Happy Sunday from Life Creek Church. I'm Pastor Ron, and it is June 28th, and we're still coming to you from quarantine. Today, we're going to continue on our series from Acts, sermon series from Acts, and with a specific direction, I guess you would say, or a specific question of what should we look like today? Should we look like the Book of Acts church? And if so, what did that look like so that we can address ourselves and grow from it and try to become what we think that God is leading us to be? Very important right now, seeing that we're praying about a new pastor coming to the church. It is very important that we know who we are, that we have an identity for that pastor to come to. So we're in prayer about that, okay? But let's go ahead and take a look at the sermon title for this morning, and that is Faith in His Name. And we're talking about this this topic this morning, faith in the name of Jesus, because that is where the church was putting their faith in the early days. And we're going to see many other things as well from the Book of Acts. But let's take a look at an anchoring scripture verse. And even though we're talking about the Book of Acts, our scripture verse, I've decided, is most explained in Philippians chapter 2, verse 10. At the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth. And that's where we're going today. So let's go ahead and have a word of prayer about this sermon, about our church, about us, okay? And join me right now as we pray. Pray where you are right now that God will bless you in this sermon today. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we come to you in prayer. Lord, in your name, in the name of Jesus, asking you, Lord God, to touch us. Holy Spirit, to fill us, to help us be bold in our calling ourselves, in our calling of the church, because the church has its own identity and calling to fulfill. So Lord God, help us to understand what that is for us at Life Creek, that we can be the church that you desire us to be, that we can grow into it, that we can grow in our relationship to you, Lord, and that we can share that with others to bring them into your kingdom. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's go ahead and go back to the word today. I want to just jump into the sermon and read. But before I do, we want to discuss that background, okay? Where we're going, where we've come from up until today. What are we seeing in the early church? So through this series, what have we seen? We have seen that the miracle of the Holy Spirit and power has come. And that came, Jesus told us to wait for it in chapter 1, told the disciples to wait for the Holy Spirit to come with his power. And the big question was, power to do what? We don't need power of the Holy Spirit to sit in a pew. We seriously don't. So we are given this power to be his witnesses unto the uttermost ends of the earth, to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth, right? So this is the Holy Spirit coming with this power. And when he came with this power, he was like a mighty rushing wind. And that wind filled the disciples, and they began to speak in languages they didn't really know what they were saying. And people heard in the language on the day of Pentecost that they knew. And people were added to the number of disciples. I would say the church, and that is true, but at that time, they didn't know they were something new. They just thought, the disciples thought this was an extension of Judaism, a fulfillment in Judaism. They weren't determined to make a new religion or anything like that. But people join them. They join their numbers of the disciples because of this power, this miracle they heard in their own languages from people who couldn't speak their language. And this was a miracle. And then what have we started talking about from there? Yet the world has opposed them. The world began opposing the sharing of the gospel. And isn't that strange? I mean, the world still opposes it. You find political groups fighting against Christianity, other groups of people that come against Christianity. Why is that? When so much of Christianity is love, and so much of it isn't, but so much of it is love, and that is what we desire it to be. Yes, we make mistakes because we sin and we misunderstand things, yes, but we are supposed to be people of love, welcoming people to forgiveness in Jesus. Forgiveness, not judgment. Forgiveness. Judgment is the job of the Holy Spirit. And so we're just offering forgiveness to the world. And yet we are opposed. And this is the same thing in the book of Acts, in the early days of the church. The world came against them. They did a miracle. And instead of saying, hey, what's this you have to say? How was this miracle done? I want to know what is happening. No, instead, they want to jail Peter and John. They say, stop this speaking in the name of Jesus. We don't want any more of these miracles. Why is that? And I don't have the answer for you. I will offer that it is, a lot of it has to do with pride. These are people with their own position and power. We can't have somebody less than me coming along and giving people good things. That's my job. I'm the one in power. I'll lose my position. And you have this pride. And wasn't that the sin, the original sin of Satan? He said in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28, I think those are the right chapters, that he would set his throne above God's. Pride. He was filled with pride. He was created to be an anointed cherub, an angel of position and power. And instead, he takes it and thinks that he can be above the throne of God. And he takes that pride. So he's thrown down from the throne because of that pride. And he takes it and then comes to man to deceive man. And he offers the same pride to man. Did God really say, oh, you will be like God if you eat this apple? That's why he doesn't want you to eat it. You will be like him. And man, Adam, in his pride says, well, give me that. I'll take a bite. You see that pride? And is that possible? That's what's going on with the world, this pride of, no, I want you to look at me as the Savior. Not this Jesus. Could be other factors as well, but I do want to add that. So what happened? What did we see in the early church? Well, more were added to their number. And then what happened? They came together in study, in prayer, in care for one another as a community. Having their things as one. So when I have abundance, that I offer to you something of which I have if you're in need and you're in lack. That's what community is. And they are saying, basically, and we're going to look at more of this today, that the kingdom of heaven has arrived already, but not quite yet. And we talked about this, that was the message of Jesus, that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and healing and forgiveness and this followed the proclamation that Jesus made, and it is following the disciples after Jesus has gone to heaven. The power of the Holy Spirit has come, and what happens is that miracles continue to take place, and that's where we are today. That's where we're reading. I said I wanted to jump in to the reading. Took me a little while to get there. Sorry about that. All right, let's go on. From Acts chapter 3, verse 1 and following. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. Couple of things. Right from the beginning. Peter and John were going up to the temple. You see, they weren't going to a church building. They hadn't made some sort of separation between them and Judaism at this time. And when are they going up? The hour of prayer. And a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Okay, so remember I told you that the lame were considered sinful people. The blind, sinful people, they were kept out of the temple because they weren't good enough to go in. And so here they were. Here this man is carried and laid at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate to do what? To beg for money. We see this today, don't we? I used to live in a small town called Cleveland, and downtown at the courthouse was a man who was laid by his family on the concrete every day to beg for money. And that went on then. This goes on now. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. He asked for something. He asked for money. And isn't it interesting? This is what he asked for. He didn't really know what he needed, did he? He thought money would solve his problem for the day. And maybe it would. I mean, he'd have something to eat. But the kingdom of God offered him more. Let's look at verse 4. Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. Now he was expecting, he's expecting to receive money. And this is what he asked for. This is what he expected. And haven't we seen this as we studied Jesus, what the Jews were expecting? They were expecting the Messiah to come as a king to make Israel great again among the world. But that isn't what they received. And Jesus' response was, "I'm coming to free you from the oppression," but not just of the Roman soldiers. No, no, to free you from the kingdom of Satan, the kingdom of darkness, and bring you into the kingdom of light. I'm going to give you something more than what you're asking for. I know what you need more than you do. And God does, doesn't he? He knows our needs before we ask for them. He knows our needs more than what we know we need. What a God we serve. And he's concerned for those needs. So let's look back again. Peter and John say, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting money. But Peter said, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you." I want to pause there for a moment and talk to you a little bit more. I don't have any money. Peter and John, they're the beginning of the church. These miracles are happening. They're filled with the Holy Spirit. They're speaking in languages they don't understand. Many more are coming to them. They are now ready to lay down their life for Jesus, but they still don't have any money. Let me just put it bluntly to you. The kingdom of God is not about money. Does God wish to bless you? Yes. You are blessed to be a blessing. I have said that so many times, and we need never to forget that. We are blessed to be a blessing. If you are given money, you should share it. And share it with those who are in need. You might not want to hear that. The kingdom of God is not about money. It's not about how great of a church you can build either, that it should be the fanciest or anything like that. How much are we given to missions? How much are we giving to getting the word out? Some of this is a hard word, isn't it? But Peter and John, and what are they doing? They're walking around. They don't have any money, but they have the presence of God. They have the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit is not so you can get rich or buy a bigger boat. Yes, God needs and wants and will bless us in our daily needs. But that's not what the kingdom of God is about. And we see it right here. Let's look again. I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and raised him up. Immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them. Walking, he entered the temple with them. Now he can go in. Walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat at the gate, at the beautiful gate of the temple, asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. He says, Peter and John, they say, we don't have any silver, we don't have any gold. In the name of Jesus. That's what the church is to be about more than anything else. It is to be about the infilling of God, the Holy Spirit, Jesus. I say perhaps, I shouldn't say perhaps at all. I talk a lot about social justice, and I think it is incredibly important. And if you have been listening to my weekly words, you've been listening to me talk about the minor prophets and what were the minor prophets chastising Israel about. Yes, about idolatry, but also about the way they treated the poor, about the way they wanted their wealth for themselves and wouldn't share it. And some of the minor prophets, they are their prophecy is about the doom that is going to come because of their own selfishness, because of the lack of social justice. But the most important thing, it is the name of Jesus, the filling of Jesus. Jesus is what the church is about. You can't take social justice out of the church and still call it faith. James calls that faith dead. But at the same time, social justice instruments, thank God for them that they do help people, but they only help them in a temporal fashion. They don't change people. Maybe they can help guide them, yes, and in that way, that's good change. But at the same time, what is forever? And forever is having God in our lives. You can't have one without the other. They don't work. It doesn't fit. You're only delivering half. If you deliver a gospel about the name of Jesus without God's hand working in our world today, and if you only deliver God's hand working, or if you only deliver some people even just without God at all, just the social justice arm, what are you doing for them for eternity? You're leaving it out. Not only for eternity, I'm not only speaking about heaven. I kind of don't even talk that much about crossing that line for what happens to us later, because I need God now, not just for blessings, but I need him in my life because he has changed me inside out. He's changed my heart. I live a better life because Jesus is in it. That we have to offer. And Peter and John, we got to see this healing for what it is. It's a healing in the name of Jesus. And then this man receives what? The ability to come into the temple as well. That's an amazing thing that goes on as well. He's now able to join the Christian church or the Jewish church even at that point in time, right? But he is healed how? Not just in the name of God, come into the temple, be Jewish. But it is clear that it happens in the name of Jesus. Jesus came to save us, to bring the kingdom to us. And I want to talk about in the name of Jesus and what that means. In the name of Jesus, it's not just a magic word to invoke. You can't use a magic word, okay? Just say Jesus. It is when we stand in the stead of Jesus, okay? In the name of Jesus in the first century gave the connotation like in the name of the king. It was as if a king, if you did something in a kingdom, it was as if you did something for the king himself. And here we are in the name of Jesus. He is our king and we are ambassadors of Christ, Paul says. We are doing, we are saying, we are speaking in the name of the king himself, and the king's name is Jesus. It's as if Jesus himself is doing this for you right now. So keep that in mind when we pray in the name of Jesus, that we just don't speak it as a magic line. It is, we do it as if it is Jesus saying this himself. As I pray in the name of Jesus, as is if it is Jesus saying the prayer. Amen. So very important. This is what the name of Jesus brings to us. Okay. What was the man expecting? He was expecting money. I don't have silver and gold, said Peter and John. But in that name of Jesus, I come to you. And this is not new for these guys. This is not the first time this happened. I want to take you back to Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you. Why? In the name of Jesus Christ. This was after that great sermon from Peter on the day of Pentecost. They said, what do we do? Well, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. He is saying, beyond Judaism, in the name of Jesus Christ. For what? The forgiveness of sins. It is that name. It is that stead. When we are asking for someone to believe in the name of Jesus, to believe in Jesus, it is for the forgiveness of sins. And it is as if Jesus is making that offer himself. And you've heard me say that. You are the temple of God. As the temple of God, you are the place of forgiveness, right? And what will happen? They too will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And what happens from the gift of the Holy Spirit? You receive power. All right. I want to go through that name a little bit more. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. This is from John chapter 14. This is Jesus speaking. And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. And here it is, verse 13. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be with you. Why did I put all of this together and kind of separate it out? Because Jesus is saying, whatever you ask in my name. And then verse 15 picks up with how this is going to work. It's going to work because the Holy Spirit will be with you and you will know him. And isn't that what's happening in Acts? The Holy Spirit has empowered Peter and John, and now with that power, they speak in the name of Jesus. And because the Holy Spirit is with them, this man has received healing. Now, I want to go back to that Philippians scripture again and give you that one in its entirety. God has highly exalted him, Jesus, and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That name is the most powerful name that can be named. It is above every name. So I want to remind you that the name of Jesus is above poverty. It is above lack. It is above the coronavirus. It is above cancer. At the name of Jesus, cancer, bow your knee. At the name of Jesus, coronavirus, bow your knee. Now, was this only for the first century? You've got to ask that question. We have to deal in reality. It's the follow-up. Well, Pastor, everybody doesn't get healed. I'm not going to pretend to answer and like I know why that happens. I don't have the answer for you. I can tell you this. My mom died of cancer, but ultimately received her healing. I don't want that to be a cop-out answer for you, but she is in the presence of God, and this I'm certain of, and I'm thankful for. My brother died. My father died. My sister died. Three out of those four died of cancer. And they are in the presence of God, and I am so thankful. They're ultimately healed. I don't know why some people receive and some don't. I can tell you that this is part of the kingdom, and the kingdom has already come, but it doesn't look like what we expect it to look like. It does look a little different. I can tell you that people get healed by a doctor's hand. Does that mean it's less of a miracle? No. James says that all good gifts come from above. So I believe that too is a miracle. I believe our numbers in the coronavirus have been kept much lower than the expectations because I believe it's a miracle. But I also think as we unfortunately don't recognize that it is God that is saving us, that the system's hand is become stronger. If we don't give glory to God for what he's done, I see a resurgence in the number of cases, and there's all kinds of questions. But you know what? I don't want to politicize this. I believe it is God that has been rescuing us and continues to save us. And I just pray that he continues, and I thank him for it. Because I prayed at the name of Jesus. And I know that everybody did at first around the world, Christians united. And then sadly, it has become a political issue. And I don't think it should. I believe we should give credit to God. Now, I want to go back just a little bit. What should we look like? Well, I believe that our community, as a Christian community, as a church, should be first and foremost about prayer. Not first and foremost even about the sermon, but about prayer. I believe miracles do happen. Miracles that take place immediately, and others that come about by doctors, and sometimes we don't understand why they don't happen. But I can tell you that my time in Bolivia, when we were in need of miracles and didn't have doctors available, we saw them. In the village of Patacamaya, where we now have a church plant, we had like 8 people that started a church. It has grown at times, it has had 200. Now with the coronavirus, I'm not sure what's going on there. It's unable to have church like we are by the computer. But not long into the birth of this church, a woman came to the service. Her whole life has been unable to walk well on a cane. Actually, it wasn't her whole life. It was caused by an accident that she had a very handicapped ankle, and she was healed. And she walked around the village and just, you know, with a cane and didn't get out a whole lot. Everybody knew she was handicapped. This is a small village of just several thousand people, but nothing more than that. I think it might be 20,000. I might be overestimating that. I can't remember right now. But at any rate, there weren't many Christian people. They are animist people that live there, Aymara people. And as she walked around, as a result of a day of prayer and fasting in this small church, she began telling everyone that Jesus had done it for her. And people started to come, and that church grew. Now, this happened in our church plant. So I have seen miracles happen. I've seen many more than that. And I've seen times that it has taken a doctor. And that's okay, too. We've had another woman by the name of Martha who was healed. But that came at the doctor's hand, a Christian doctor who said, I will give her my time, and performed a surgery on her and has restored her life. I'll tell you about that sometime. It's just a wonderful story of Christians coming together to afford this woman a surgery. He couldn't otherwise have it. And her life in her early 40s was just about over. This is the community of God. This is what the church should look like. We should be seeing miracles happen, miracles of different kind. We should be a community helping one another when we're in need. Study and faith in the name of Jesus. Now, I will tell you this. We should see the kingdom of God in our midst with healing and forgiveness and love. But it does mean that sometimes the world may come against us. It is true. Oftentimes, people who are evangelists and out sharing with somebody are looked upon with scorn at different times. It's happened to me. I don't want to take too much time. I'll give you the short version. I got on a plane once, and I had a hat on with different flags that I would put for countries I had been to. And the stewardess asked me, oh, you have so many flags and so many pens. Have you been to those countries? And I said, yes. And she said, why? And I said, well, I'm a missionary. And immediately a man in the front row said, well, shame on you, forcing your religion on others. It's okay. Kind of a little shock for me. And you know, what made him assume that I forced anything on anybody? Praying for people to be healed and seeing them recovered. I don't think that's forcing anything, but the world will sometimes come against you. But the church and our Christianity will cause personal growth and also personal battles. While the world will come against us, sometimes our own mind comes against us. Oh, what's there in this name of Jesus? It is a personal battle. And mostly, we should be a people of prayer, calling on the name of Jesus. This is what we should look like. We should have faith in his name. He should be the primary center point. That should be number one. And our relationship with him. Bring your kingdom to us, Lord. We should be in prayer and in faith in the name of Jesus. Do we look like that? We have a pastor coming soon, a new pastor. And we need to decide the people we want to be. We want to be those people of faith, those people that call upon the name of Jesus, people of prayer, people of study, people of community. Let's do it in the name of Jesus. Amen. So I ask you, the challenge this week is, I'm going to continue with that challenge from the book of Acts. First of all, why do you have the power of the Holy Spirit? It's not to sit on a pew. It's not to get silver and gold and to have a better car. You don't need the power of the Holy Spirit for that. That's not what the kingdom of God is about. And are you fulfilling that call of the Holy Spirit? What do you personally look like? And let's bring it to the church as a community. Those are some big challenges. If you go through this list and ask yourself about yourself, do you look like this? Do we pray in faith? Are we operating in the name of Jesus? Do we have the social justice where we reach out to others in community? Do we have it? Let's go ahead and pray. And Father, we pray right now, Lord God, to increase our prayer life, our faith in your name and who you are and what you do and how you move in this world. And Lord, we give you thanks. We give you thanks and praise that you are delivering us from this virus. And Lord, we ask protection from it continued in the name of Jesus. Lord, let us be that church that you have called us to be. Let us have that flavor that you are asking us to have. And let us seek you and hear you in who you want us to be. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for your miracles. Let them happen in our midst. I thank you for this miracle that you save us from this virus. Lord God, bring us back together soon because we miss each other. Lord, I thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.